1 Samuel 17 actually starts out with a little description of a war beginning. And it starts out with, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, and which belongs to Judah. I'm a little tongue-tied, I'm sorry. They encamped between Succoth and Azekiah in Ephes Damon. Now, okay, the question is, what's the battle all about? And to understand that, we have to go back to Genesis, believe it or not. So, if you look at Genesis 16, you will find the story of, the account of Abraham and Sarah. But at the point in Genesis 16, they still had not had a covenant with the Lord. So their names were Sarai and Abram. And this is what chapter 16 says, and this will lead you into why that there's a problem with the Philistines. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from gathering children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. A couple issues there, right? One of them was, we learned in Genesis, he should have been the leader, not her. He should not have done that. So you can see where this is headed. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. Okay, so here's the beginning of the trouble. Let's skip down a few verses, because what you're going to see is because she conceived, there is now trouble between the two women. And Sarai is not good, if you will, at all to her maidservant. So her maidservant is running off. We get down to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "So indeed, Abram said, 'Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please.'" Do to her as you please. "And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence." So you see, this pregnant woman is now running away from her employment and where she was. So she's fleeing. Now, here's where we get to the real crux of the issue. Verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a spring in the water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said to her, 'Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you gone?' She said, 'I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand.'" Go back to where you came from. Put up with it. There's something else going on here. Verse 10, "Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so they shall not be counted for the multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him.'" Do you see this? This young man that's going to be born is going to be the father of a nation. And the nation is going to be against Israel. And Israel's going to be against them. But that verse concludes with, "And every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren." They're going to be right with each other. But yet, this animosity and this hatred is going to be there. So let's go back to where we were in 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. Okay, in case you're wondering where that city is, it's about 15 miles southwest of Jerusalem. The land of the Philistines is actually where the Gaza Strip is. And in fact, it was a little bit longer and broader. The people that dwelled there were effectively the same people group that are there now today. They were the Arab nation. So when you wonder why there's so much problem between Israel and between the Palestinians, that's what the root cause is right there. Abraham and Sarai. It all goes back to that ancient time. But this is partway coming forward, and we're seeing here the Israelites are battling the Philistines. Same area, same people group, same issues. So they gathered together. And Saul and his men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up battle arrays against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. You see, what was happening was these two armies were lined up, one on each mountainside with a valley between them. And the plan is the battle would be as they came together. So they literally had lines of guys on one mountain and lines of guys on the other mountain. So what happened? Verse 4, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 foot 9 inches, y'all. You talk about a big man. 9'9". He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. All right, two important points there. One was bronze was a fairly new development during that period of time. This guy had the latest armor on. He was state-of-the-art for a warrior. He was covered with chain mail made out of the bronze. It was 125 pounds of mail. So the chain mail alone that he was carrying was 125 pounds. He had a bronze helmet. He had the mail on. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin between his shoulders. Are you getting the picture of him? He's not only got this chain mail, but he's got armor on his legs, and he's carrying a javelin on his back. I keep thinking having the modern picture of a tank out on a battlefield. I'm sorry, I just do, because this guy is state-of-the-art weaponry, and he's huge, and he's powerful. Now he had a staff of a spear, was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Stop and think about that staff for a minute. Effectively, what they're saying, a weaver's beam was about 2 to 2.5 inches in diameter. So he had a staff that was about, well, he had a spear that was about this big around on the shaft. It was probably 10 to 12 feet long. It had a 15 to 16.5 pound point on the end of it, made out of iron that was sharpened. And if you do all the math, they would have put about a 6 pound weight on the back of it to be a counterbalance. Because you see that kind of spear the soldiers would pick up and carry with one hand. So this giant man was carrying this spear that was 10 to 12 feet long with one hand. It was probably a 30 pound spear that he would wield in battle. That's a pretty awesome guy to come up against. And that's the point here. So what happens? So then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and save us." You see, guys, this isn't just in the movies. This actually happened. A champion would go out from the lines, and he would say, "Hey, you guys send out your best man. We're going to fight. Whoever wins, the battle's over. Whoever wins, wins the battle. The armies don't need to fight. They can go all back to their families." And that's what's happening here. Goliath is calling them out. That's literally what he's doing, calling them out. Send us your best man. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. Now imagine that. Here's a guy 9'9", fully armored with a big spear, and he's standing out in front of the army, and he's saying, "Hey, send me your biggest, best guy." I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't be the first one to volunteer. That would be a pretty awesome thing to see. Verse 10, "And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, and we will fight together.'" So what happened? What did Saul, the leader of the Israelites, what was going on with him? It says right there, "When Saul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." The mighty Saul, the king of Israel, was afraid. They got a whole army standing against us, and they got a battle tank standing in the middle of it. And they're calling us out. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old and advanced in years, in days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul into battle. The names of the 3 sons went into battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. You see this? Jesse's got 4 boys that are named right there. 3 of them have already gone to battle with Saul. And one of them, David, was the youngest. He wasn't old enough to go to battle. But he was going up to the lines checking on the brothers and then going and checking on the sheep. So he was getting around. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned to Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew and presented themselves for 40 days, morning and evening. So imagine that. These armies are lined up every morning. Sunrise, these armies would line up on the 2 mountains. Sometime in the morning, Goliath would step out. He'd challenge them. I have no idea if they stayed there all day or not. I suspect they did. And then sometime at the end of the day, Goliath would challenge him again. 40 days this went on. 40 days. So we get back to this. And it says, "Then Jesse, the son of David, take now your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands and see how your brothers fare and bring back the news of them." Okay, so if you're wondering what an ephah is, it's about 6/10 of a bushel. So that'll give you a mental picture of how much he was supposed to carry. That plus 10 cheeses. I don't know how big the cheese wheels were. I don't think they were the monster ones, but probably something reasonably small that was movable. "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." The reality was fighting meant that they, in this case, they were lined up. They were eyeing each other up. But nobody yet was actually going out into hard battle. So David rose in the morning, left his sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went to, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. See, here you see it again. They're all lined up. They're all ready. They're ready to fight. And David left the supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. Okay, so David is there, and he's checking on his brothers. He's delivering a little bit of food to the army. And out comes Goliath, and he says exactly what he said before. So David heard every word that he said firsthand, and this is on the 40th day. And all the men of Israel, when they saw this man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So here they are. They're all lined up. This guy walks out, and the guys in the middle are kind of backing up, and they're saying, nope, we're getting away from this. We are not going to step up to this man. So, verse 25, the men of Israel, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from the taxes in Israel. Man, that's not much, is it? You go out and kill this guy, the king is going to set you up with a lot of money, one of his daughters, and, oh, by the way, exemption from taxes. Where's the downside of this? Goliath. Goliath is the downside for sure. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for this man who kills a Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Now, this is important. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, what's happening here is David has realized that these Philistines are going up against the army of God, and the army of God is not responding as they should. They are God's army. God is in control. David has got tremendous faith. Where's the faith of this army? But this man, this Philistine, this Gentile, he's uncircumcised. He's basically calling out God. And the people answered in this manner, saying, the same manner. You see, David, I don't know if he didn't believe it or if he just wanted to hear from more than one person. But after he was told, this is what you get if you kill this giant, David went around and asked some more people, hey, what's the story? What do you get if you kill this guy? Now, Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You see, the older brother is not bought in. The older brother is saying to David, what are you doing here? I know you just came down here to see the battle. That's all you're here for. And David said, what have I done now? Could you see this, a little brother to his big brother? What have I done now? Never happened. Is this not a cause? Wow. Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing, and these people answered as the first one did. You see, his brother didn't dissuade him. He kept right on going. Hey, what's the deal? What do I get? What happens if somebody kills him? Now the words which David spoke when they heard reported to that was reported to Saul, and he sent for him. So now he's getting summoned to the king. Imagine this. You are a shepherd boy. You have caused enough commotion among the troops that the king is now sending for you. Makes you wonder what was going through David's head at that moment. I get to go see the king. I'm not sure that was viewed as a good thing. So, it goes on and it says, after David, or after Saul sent for him, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. He's got a whole army of men, hardened, battle-proven men, that won't go up against him. And here comes this shepherd boy in, well, boy, young man, in. And he says to the king, he says, don't let everybody be concerned. I'll go fight him. Could you imagine what Saul was probably thinking? What would be going through your head? This young guy walks in. Hey, I'll do it. Probably the first thought is, I wonder what you'd look like hung up on a spear, you know? I mean, that sounds kind of crude and rude, but that's kind of what Saul was probably thinking was going to happen to him. How long would he stand up against Goliath? David goes on in verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion or the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Do you got that? This young man has killed a lion and a bear by himself with just the stuff that he had. And he says clearly he grabbed them by the beard, he grabbed them by the fur, and he killed them. We're not talking about standing 100 yards away with a 30-06 and taking them down. We are talking about going and taking down a lion and a bear with your bare hands. That's an amazing thing. He's killed them both. And now he's saying, this Philistine, he's big, but he's just going to be like another one of them. Why? Why would he say that? Do you think he's crazy? He's not. You see, God builds our faith over time. God gives us faith. As we are obedient to him, he will strengthen our faith through the things that he enables us to do. So as we accomplish more and more, and overcome more and more, and go through more and more hardship, and more pain, and more challenges, and God is with us, he is building us up. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing David walk before the king, and he's saying, this Philistine's not like anything else. I can go by, challenge him and kill him. Why? It's not because of David. It's because of David's faith in God. He knows that that battle will go to the Lord. It's not a question. The Lord has already won. The Lord is almighty. Not just mighty like Goliath. He is almighty. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And so Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. Do you see that? He went before Saul. He made his case, showed that he had the faith. And Saul said, go. I believe you. He bought in. But then the very next thing that Saul does is completely contrary to what you would have expected from what he just said. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Here we got a young man, and he puts on a full-size king's armor, complete with a sword and a helmet and everything. And he tries to walk, and he can't even walk. And so he takes it all off, and he sets it aside. There is an amazing, amazing act of faith again. I don't need all of this. I need the Lord. This earthly stuff doesn't cut it. The battle belongs to the Lord. Then he took it off. Then verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You got this? He took up 5 smooth stones, he put them in a bag, and he walked out with a sling in his hand. So he's got his staff in one hand, and he's got his sling in the other. Anybody that doesn't know what a sling is, it's pretty simple. It's a little piece of leather, rectangular, and it's got 2 cords tied to it. In this case, it probably would have been 2 leather strands. And what you'd do is you'd put the stone in it, and you'd swing it around, and you'd let go of one of the 2 strings. And when that string would drop, that stone would go out at very high velocity. So it's a pretty effective weapon for somebody that knows how to use it and aim it. And that's what he was carrying into battle. 5 stones, that's all he had. And his staff. So what do we see? So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore his shield went before him. You see, Goliath was a mighty warrior, and he had all this equipment on, but he also had a shield bearer. And the shield bearer's job was literally to carry the shield before the army guy. So it wouldn't have been a small shield. It would have been a pretty big shield. The guy that was carrying it was probably actually, because of the size of Goliath, would have been a fairly large guy to carry a shield that was big enough for Goliath. So the shield bearer would go before, and Goliath would come right behind him with all the armor. And that's how they were advancing forward towards David. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you came at me with sticks?" He had a shepherd's staff in his hand. "You're bringing a stick against me? I got a 12-foot spear here. Weighs 25 pounds. You're going to bring a stick? You're not in this battle. You better find a different one." And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine cursed him by his gods. You see, he did not believe in the living God. He believed in this multitude of pagan gods. And so he's cursing David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Okay, there's an outright threat. I'm going to chop you up and feed you to the birds. How does David respond? In fear? No. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistines, "You come to me, come at me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You're coming at me with your stuff. I'm coming at you in the power of God. You see, he was openly declaring his faith and his belief in God. "I'm not bringing all this stuff. I'm bringing the Lord, and he's already won." But David goes on. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I shall give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Got that message? Because of David's faith, he was absolutely certain that the army of Israel was going to win. But not only that, he was going to take the head of this giant man. So he was going to kill him. All in the power of God. Verse 47 says, "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, but the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands." David is very clear about what he's saying about the Lord. This is our battle because it belongs to God. You have defied God. God has already won. You just don't know you've lost yet. I have faith. I know what's going to happen. So what happened in this account? I'm not going to read the entirety of this account. I'll leave it for you to read. But what I'll tell you is that David did go against him with the sling and the stones. And he did, in fact, strike Goliath with one blow, with one stone. But he didn't have a sword. So he had to use Goliath's sword to cut his head off. And he won the battle. And as soon as he won the battle, that rousted all the Philistines because their army tank sitting in the middle was just now defeated by a young man. What's the rest of that army going to do to us? So they turned tail and ran with the Israelites chasing them. So what's the moral of this story? What's the lesson that I want you to take away today? The lesson that I want you to take away today is that David went into this with faith. He overcame with faith. And he got that faith because God built it up in him over years. It wasn't instantly he had every bit of faith he had at that moment. You see, he had faith in God to believe in God, but over time, God was completely faithful to him. He is completely faithful to us. So as we go through our life, if we are walking with him, he will continue to build our faith each and every day. I'd like to close here with just a little word of prayer, and then we'll move on to a hymn. Father, I do just thank you for your message. Lord, it is so amazing when I read these accounts and I see what happens in the Bible. But we know each and every day your hand is with us. Lord, you lead us day by day. So I thank you. I thank you for your message, and I just ask that as we continue in this service today, that you help us to remember that that's who you are. You're the one who is always with us, and you will be with us as we move ahead. And we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.